Ever felt useless? Like, I don't think God can use me. I want to encourage you, if you've ever felt like God can't use you, all right? Just remember this. Noah was a drunk. Yeah, he built a vineyard and he then drank from it and passed out. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David had an affair and was a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. He did. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow, and she was bitter. Job went bankrupt. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer, and Lazarus was dead. So no more excuses. God can use you to your full potential. Besides, you're not the message, you're the messenger. So that'll give you some hope, amen? If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. I'm so excited because this is the beginning of a new series. The Lord led us, I don't know how many years ago it was, but we have a theme for every month, and we try to follow that theme as the Lord leads, but you know, there are times when he likes to interrupt that, and that's okay because we just go with what he wants. And, you know, in the world today, there's a lot of uncertainty and there's a lot of trouble, right? There's a threat of a nuclear disaster in Japan. There are numerous wars taking place in the Middle East. There's revolts going on in different countries. Economies, countries are being bankrupt. All right? There's a lot of trouble. But I want you to know something, that with the trouble that there is in the world, there's a peace that comes from God that passes our understanding. And we're going to talk about that today. I think that this is a fitting time to talk about the peace that passes understanding. Amen. I think that we're living in a time and an hour where we need not just man peace, but the peace that comes from God that can keep us safe and secure. And in Philippians chapter 4, we're going to begin with verse 1. And I'm reading from the Amplified. It says, "Therefore, my brethren, whom I love and yearn to see, my delight and crown, thus stand firm in the Lord, my beloved." Everybody say, stand firm. "I entreat and advise Euodia, and I entreat and advise Syntyche to agree and work in harmony in the Lord. And I exhort you too, my genuine yoke fellow. Help these, for they have toiled along with me in the spreading of the gospel, as have Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." Now I want you to pay attention here to verse 4 as we're going to get into some things. Rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Always. All right, I was just seeing if you were paying attention. Is it possible to be able to rejoice always? Yes. Absolutely, because notice our rejoicing is in the Lord. Okay? Amplified says, "Delight, gladden yourselves in Him." And again I say, rejoice. Now, if you have to say something twice, you must really mean it, right? Okay? Verse 5. Let all men know and perceive and recognize your unselfishness, your considerateness, your forbearing spirit. The Lord is near. He is coming soon. Now, we're going to get into the peace right here. All this is tied together, by the way. Do not, it says, do you fret or have anxiety about anything? Do not fret or have anxiety, but in every circumstance and in everything by prayer. Everybody say by prayer. With thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God or your requests. And what's going to happen? And God's peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Notice there is a peace that comes, and it has the ability to pass understanding. You know why that's good? Because sometimes our minds can get cluttered with stuff, all right? Our minds can be cluttered with worry or concern for this or concern for that or anxiety or fear. But you know what? Since God's peace has the ability to transcend the mind, it doesn't get caught up in that stuff. Amen? In other words, someone who's dehydrated, they can get an IV, and fluid goes directly to the body, right? It doesn't have to go through the mouth, but the body can get... See, so God gives us a transfusion, so to speak, an IV of His peace. It's able to... If it doesn't come from the mind, if it's above the mind, then it doesn't get caught up in the things of the mind. And it has the ability to keep your heart and your mind focused, fixed, firm in Christ Jesus. Amen? And that's the kind of peace that we need. The kind of peace that you can have when there's storms and trouble going all around you, but you have peace. And you may not even understand why you have peace. You just know that you have it. You're experiencing the result of it, and you can be at calm. You can be at rest even when there's in the midst of trouble. That's the kind of peace. I'm telling you, the world is looking for peace like that today. And guess what? We are the ones that can share it with them. Then he goes on to say, it's one thing to have the peace, but it's another thing to keep the peace that God gives you. Look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, virtue is power or moral excellence. If there be any praise, what are you supposed to do? Think on things. Whatsoever things are pure, lovely, just, honest, good report, true. See, when we think on these things, then that peace that God gives us that passes all understanding stays with us. But see, if you allow yourself to think on the other things, then your focus will begin to take on those things that you're thinking about, right? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Okay? So if you want to, you get the peace through prayer, through putting your trust in God. Okay? And what is this peace that he's talking about? It's more than just quietness or rest. But it also, it involves complete soundness. It is well-being for the total person. All right? Say this. Say peace is a total package. It affects my mind, my body, and my spirit. Isn't it awesome that we have access to this peace? And this peace comes directly from God to us. It's not based in your circumstances. It's not based on what's happening in the world. This peace comes directly from heaven, all right? You know, there's a direct line to the White House. And wherever the president is, people who need to get in contact with him, they have access, and he can pick up a special phone, and he's got a direct line. Well, I'm telling you, every believer has a direct line to heaven, and when you need peace, it's available to you. It's there for you. It can put your mind at rest. It keeps your mind and your heart. It's like a garrison. It's like a fortress. It's like a stronghold. And when you got that stronghold, the troubles can't get in. The harm can't get in. The fear can't get in. Boy, you think, Pastor, if you talk about peace, you'd be all. Let me tell you something. Peace is powerful. The Bible wants us to be peacemakers, not peacekeepers. You make the peace by not compromising the Word of God. You make peace by standing up for what's right. But that means I might get in trouble. Yeah, but the peace will protect you. Mm-mm-mm. And this peace is a combination of hope and trust. And it puts you at ease. Where, you know, peace allows you to think clearly, to make right decisions, to take right actions. All right? This peace is associated with salvation. All right? Go with me to Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah 52. And I want you to look at verse 7. He says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings what? Good tidings or good news. Everybody say good news. Aren't you glad that God's into good news? Okay. That publish peace. With good news comes peace. Peace is attached to the gospel. When the angels declared the birth of Jesus, they said, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. It's connected with the gospel. We have the gospel of peace shot upon our feet. We can be harmless as doves and wise as serpents. This peace, this total well-being is associated with salvation, with good news. This peace follows a right relationship with God. Amen? This peace results in friendly relationships with others. When Jesus often greeted people, he would say, peace be unto you. Or when someone received a miracle, he would say, go in peace. Depart in peace. Amen? I'm going to get a piece of the peace today. Peace is a gift from God. It's a gift. Everybody say it's a gift. Don't leave your gift wrapped. Open it. If you want the peace, then open the gift, right? This is where the peace comes from. Go to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26. I'm so glad that you all are here today. You know, I was just so blessed when I heard everybody greeting. Just the sound of your greeting was filling this room. And I'm thinking, how much more it sounds now than what it did, say, a year or two ago. Amen? our sound is increasing. Glory to God. Now, for every row, for every seat that's in your row that's empty, you need to pray for those seats, and you need to call in people to those seats from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Now, some of you are already doing that. And it's like, my row's being filled. Well, take another row. Expand your rows. Amen? Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for he is the Lord Jehovah, is everlasting strength. He brings down them that dwell on high, the lofty city. He lays it low. He lays it low, even to the ground. He brings it even to the dust. But notice, you having your mind stayed on him is a direct link to having the peace. He gives you perfect peace, complete peace, supernatural peace, strong peace. And all you got to do is focus your attention on him. Put your mind on him. You know, when you got your car and you put it in P, does your car go anywhere? Hopefully not. So sometimes when we got things like this, it's like driving on a freeway. We got things coming to our mind. We got thoughts. The devil's bombarding us. Thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. He's coming at you. He's shooting those fiery darts. And all you got to do is shift gears and let your mind stay on the Lord. You begin to focus on the Lord. Begin to talk about the Lord. Begin to worship the Lord. And what happens? Wait a minute now. Things start to slow down. All that activity that was taken in your mind, it begins, you feel a peace come over you. You feel a calm come over you. Oh, it's like a warm comforter on a cold night. Hallelujah. You get under that comforter and that warm, it's like drinking a hot cup of cocoa on a snowy day. It just brings a warmth on you. How many want perfect peace? Are you gonna let your mind stay on him? The Bible promises. See, peace is not without our participation. Oh, it comes from God. It comes from heaven. But it's not automatic. I mean, in Philippians, it relates to prayer, rejoicing, thinking. All those things are stuff that we do. Well, I don't feel like rejoicing. Rejoice anyway. You know, that's the best time to rejoice, when you don't feel like it. Oh, it's easy to rejoice when things are going wrong, are going good. When you don't have any trouble, it's easy. But what do you do when you have trouble? That's the time to focus on him. Okay? Go with me to Romans chapter 8. So really, your mind is kind of the key that unlocks God's peace. You know, people have a key to their car, a key to their house. Did you know that your house key won't open your car? Don't raise your hands, but has anyone tried that? It doesn't work. You've got to use the right key for the right lock. And what you think about, did you know, who does your mind belong to? Does your mind belong to me? Does it belong to your father? Does it belong to your sister? Who does it belong to? Then who controls your mind? Everybody say me. Say, I control my mind. You have that ability. You can choose what to think on. You can decide what to think on. You can choose what to say. You can choose what to do. And sometimes, peace isn't there because our mind's not engaged in God. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Well, let's back up. Verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. So you have a choice. Are you going to just focus on everything that's external? Everything that's natural? Are you going to become a quoter of Fox News or whatever news you listen to? Ooh, I hit a vein there. Oh yeah. Just use the news for information, not for quoting. If we're quoting too much news, guess where our mind is? But we're not spiritually minded. Do you realize that most of the good news programs, they're not spiritually minded? Because they celebrate a lot of worldly things. Ooh, I hit a phrase here. You're messing with my news, Pastor. Yes, I am. Because I want you to have perfect peace. Someone's got to mess with your news sometime. To be carnally minded is death. Everybody say that. Say death. That doesn't sound pleasant, does it? But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Well, what does the Spirit mind? Who wrote the Bible? God, by the Holy Spirit, right? He inspired godly men who wrote what the Lord told them to write. So, if you want to know what the Holy Spirit thinks, right here. You want to be spiritually minded? Let your mind be in agreement with the Word. Let your mind be worship. Let your mind think of the Lord. You know, we have these banners on these walls. Lord of Lords, King of Kings, King of Glory, Lord of Hosts. Just those three words. Oh yeah, exalt Jesus. Just those three words change your perspective immediately. You could be going through a rough time. Demons could be tormenting you. All right? And all you got to say is Jesus, and all of a sudden, you put fear in the demons. The Bible said at the mention of his name, their knees tremble. So, you got to make a choice. Are you going to be spiritually minded? You have to be like, oh, it's trout season now, right? Or I don't know if trout do it, but I know the salmon. They have to swim upstream to spawn, right? And they travel from the ocean and they encounter all kinds of danger, you know? But the person who is spiritually minded is like the salmon that's swimming upstream. You're swimming against the current. You know, there is a current. There is a wave in the world. The world wants to take you a certain direction. The world has a way of thinking about things. But we as believers in Christ, we need to swim upstream. We need to be different. We need to respond differently. People, the world is looking for Christians who really believe what they believe. And who will voice their beliefs, who will stand up for what they believe. Now is the time to stand up with all the trouble that's taking place in the world. Jesus is the answer. He is the Prince of Peace. And where he is, peace is. Go with me to Romans chapter 15. I want peace. I want the peace that passes understanding. I want the peace that has the ability to keep, to guard my heart and my mind. Did you know that these are the two most areas that people miss it? They're either, you know, trying to do it with their head, or their head and their heart are not in agreement. People only miss miracles, what? What is this, about 18 inches? Sometimes people are only 18 inches away from their miracle. That's the distance between the head and the heart. See, let me just say this for a minute. Knowing something in your head is different than having it in your heart. People can gain knowledge in their head, and they can regurgitate facts. They can give you equations and solutions. But God puts things in our heart. You know, he didn't say, believe in your head and you shall be saved. He said, believe with the heart and you shall be saved. So what happens is, as you get knowledge of God, okay, you start to memorize scripture, but then you need to let those scriptures go from your head and to your heart. Because your heart was the only place designed to store the Word of God. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. All right? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. So, you know, just getting it initially in your mind is like taking a bite of an apple. But then your mind has to chew it. You have to go over it and over it and over it. And then after you chew it, then what happens? It goes down and it begins to digest in your heart. Amen? And the process of digestion with knowing God's word is meditation, which is really means to ponder, to repeat over and over. Why do we do our confession every week? Because most of you can almost quote that. Some of you can probably quote it. But we got to get past just quoting it, and we got to live it. We got to be able to live it. And as a Christian, you got to live out of your heart, not out of your head. You got to live on the spiritual plane is higher than the natural plane. All right? Everybody understand that? And what happens is God takes us higher. And so it's a different way of living, and that's where we gotta put the word. And if all you're doing is involved in negativity and trouble and uneasiness, you know, what does that produce? Death. But to embrace the word with your heart, it produces life and peace. All right, let's go to Romans 15 and verse 13. I love this first word, now. Everybody say now.
Now.
You know what? God doesn't have to type an email and send you peace. He doesn't have to call you on your phone. The way that things come from God are, whoom, they're faster than lightning. Okay? Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Is that powerful? And notice that joy is always connected with peace. That's why I get so excited. You know, I'm just not, okay, we're going to talk about peace today. Why? Because there's joy connected with it. Joy is like the carburetor to peace. And joy is like, you know, they have these carburetors, they're called like a double pumper carburetor. Man, they put them in muscle cars because it gives you an extra boost of power when you hit the gas. Amen? If you want to add power to your peace, let joy and peace go together. They're both fruit Love, joy, peace. Fruit can be produced. Fruit can be multiplied. Fruit can be planted. It can grow. Fruit comes on trees. And trees are planted by the living water. Their fruit doesn't fade away. They always produce their fruit. Let me read this again. Now. Everybody say now. The God of hope, the God of expectation, the God of things that, you know, hope is expectation. Your expectation is God's invitation. I hope you came expecting today. I hope that you didn't come to church. Okay, time to go to church again. I'm here. Don't know what's going to happen. You know, no, come expecting. Praise the Lord. It's church day today. Let's go to church. It's going to be great today. It's going to be awesome today. You know, when you come with that mindset, you free up the Holy Spirit to do more things. Listen, I hope you didn't come here to be entertained today. I'm not an entertainer. I'm not here to tickle your ears. I'm here to proclaim the truth. I'm here to be a messenger for God. I'm here. God needs his people to have his peace. Now the God of hope fill you. Fill till you're full, till you overflow, till you got so much peace. Woo! I got so much peace. I don't know what to do with all this peace. Here, have some peace. Here, have some peace. I got so many pieces. Everybody can have a piece. The peace, this peace pie is so big that everybody can have some. They can have seconds. You can have thirds. You can have fourths. Hallelujah. You can have it until you're full. We're going to be having peace pie in the kitchen today. Fill you with all joy and peace. Now here's your part. In believing. Say, I'm a believer. Do you believe that God's peace can come to you? You don't have to understand peace. You don't have to go to school and get a degree in peace. I'm not a peaceologist. I've got a degree in peace. You don't need to get a degree. All you need to do to have this peace is believe, is to trust in the Lord, to put your trust in him, put your faith in him. I believe in God, therefore I have peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, when I wrote this message, I didn't intend me delivering it this way. You need joy and peace so that you can abound in expectation or hope through the power. Oh, listen, the power of the Holy Ghost can give you peace. After all, he's a comforter. Oh, my goodness. So do you see that peace is a gift from God? Now, you have to understand the purpose of every gift. It has two. Every gift is given, and every gift can be received. Did you get that letter I sent you in the mail? Yeah, I got it. Did you open it? No, I hadn't opened it yet. Oh, well, there's a check for $1,000 in there. But see, the person who didn't open it wouldn't have known that. See, that's like someone hearing this message and going away without peace. It's like the person who received a letter with a $1,000 check in it but didn't open it. They thought it was junk mail. Oh, yeah, I didn't open it. Well, you better open it. There's something in there. Listen, there's something in here today. Open this gift today. Receive this gift. Take this peace. Say, this is my peace. I've come to get my peace, and nothing's going to shake me from my peace. Go with me to John chapter 14. At the end of the service today, we're going to pray the priestly blessing over anybody who wants it. What's the priestly blessing? It has to do with blessing and peace. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And let's go to verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, do you love him? If you love him, say, I love you, Lord. He will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. In other words, live within. Now, if the Prince of Peace came over to your house, what do you think you'd have in your house? Peace. Very good. See, when you have the Prince of Peace, do you realize that he takes peace wherever he goes? He is the source of peace. He is the author of peace. The Bible often says the God of peace. Let's read on. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings. You know, it's not really hard to see if someone loves God or they don't love God. It's very easy. If you leave here today and you don't read your Bible all week, I would maybe question your love. Are you just here because it's Sunday? Are you just here because it's a duty? It's more than that. Do you realize, you know, there's a lot of people that say, why do I need to go to church? I would tell that person, why do students need to go to school? Let them just figure it out for themselves. All right? Or why do doctors need to go to medical school? They can just figure it out themselves. Would you like someone to operate on you that just figured out, I went, you know, brain surgery for dummies. You know, when you have legal problems, you don't need to go see a lawyer. You can just figure it out yourself. Listen, lawyers have their purpose. Doctors have their purpose. Teachers have their purpose, but so do churches. The purpose of the church is to teach and to train and to proclaim. And it's a place where people who share the same beliefs can gather together freely and worship Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth. So we need the church because the church has its purpose. Every believer in Christ needs a church. You know, that'd be like saying, telling soldiers, oh, we don't need generals. You guys just figure it out, you know. Figure it out yourselves. How are you going to fight? Where are you going to fight? What you going to do? We don't need generals. When people say they don't need church, that's really what I think of. So let's read on. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but my Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, that being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now look at verse 27. Notice the gift that Jesus left his people. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. Give I unto you. Notice, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, because when his peace comes in, it sets up a fortress and it does not allow fear or intimidation or fretfulness to come in. It guards your heart. It guards your mind because fear comes in your mind. Fear comes as a temptation for you to worry. You better worry about this. The devil tries to put stuff on you. Here, take this. Take this. You know, it's like paintball. And every paintball is a care and a worry. And he tries to cover you with cares. But the Bible said, cast your cares unto him. Hallelujah. That means when you cast, the devil can throw all the cares you want. You just toss it up to the Lord and you're free. You know, if you try to handle your cares, you limit God from doing it. And we know how well that works. When we try to figure things out ourselves without God's help. So peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. So the Lord's peace is different from, you know, people try to do all kinds of things to have peace. They try to do crazy things, you know, to have peace. People try to have peace using stimulants. You know what a stimulant does? It stimulates. It's hard to have peace when you're stimulating. Go to John chapter 16. Let's look at verse 32. Behold, the hour comes, yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. How could Jesus endure the torture and the despair of the cross if it wasn't for peace that was with him? He went to the cross in total confidence. And see, ultimately, his resurrection seals the deal for our peace. You talk about a peace treaty? Jesus signed the ultimate peace treaty when he made us to have peace with God. And it was signed in blood on the cross. Verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me, notice, you might have peace. What would make the difference from you might having it to having it? Receiving it by faith. Believing it. Accepting it. Trusting in it. That's the difference. You have to activate God's peace by faith. That could be a simple declaration to say, Jesus, you are my peace. How did Jesus calm a storm? He was asleep in the boat. Now, I want to paint this picture. Jesus told his disciples, we're going to the other side. How many know that whatever Jesus says is true? Okay, they get in the boat. They might have sang, row, row, row your boat across to the other side. All right? Jesus had been ministering. Jesus had been traveling. He was tired. Anybody ever get tired? Oh, yeah. He's asleep on the boat. I don't know if he snored or not. Yeah, you never know. He might have.
He was a peace bringer. He didn't snore.
So he's asleep.
Fully human.
And all of a sudden, this storm arose. And the boat was taking on water. Now, these were fishermen. They knew about the water. They knew about storms. I'm sure that they'd been in several storms. But this one, they got fearful. And they go to the back of the boat where Jesus is asleep in the storm. Jesus, Master, Master, don't you care that we perish? Huh? Huh? What? How long shall I be with you? What was his response? Peace be still. If you want to calm the storms in your mind and in your life, by faith you speak to it. You say, peace. And what happened? A calm came over the ocean. Now that storm must not have been from God, right? Come on, now the storm was not from God. Not everything that happens on this earth is from God. Accidents are not from God. The deliverance from the accident is. So Jesus dealt with the storm by speaking to it. Peace, be still. Whoo! The disciples were amazed that the wind and the waves obey him. Did you know that wind and waves obey peace? That means peace, the peace of God, is greater than any storm. If it has the ability to calm the storm, it's greater than the storm. Right? And I, you know, in the times that I've traveled, I've used that. There were times where it was like a torrential rainstorm, and I'd speak to that thing because I'm in the middle of it. I'm driving in it. Can't see 20, 15 feet in front of me. And all of a sudden, in just a moment, it would clear up. Whoo! So to receive peace by faith means to speak peace to your situation. You might have to speak to your mind. Say, mind, peace. That's code word for hush. You know, because sometimes your mind talks to you. All right, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me, everybody say in me, you might have peace. If you're not in the Lord, you don't have the access to the peace. If you're not in the Lord, who are you in? Huh? You're either in yourself or you're in the world or you're in something else. But that's all of the world, really. So that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation or troubles. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Glory to God. You've got the overcomer of trouble working on your behalf. He gives you the ability to overcome trouble, to face giants, to tear down mountains. Hallelujah. You can overcome the world. You can overcome trouble simply by accessing the peace that's available to you. We should not be fearful about the signs that are occurring in these end times. You don't have to worry if an earthquake is going to hit your house. Because anytime that God shake the house, people got better for it. You don't have to worry. Let me just break it down. As a believer, if something happens and you die, where do you go? You're in heaven. Woo! You just stepped into glory. So have you lost anything? No, you've gained. So why be fearful? Why even allow an ounce of fear in your body, in your mind, in your heart? Peace will eliminate that fear. All right, go to Ephesians chapter 2. I am having fun. I'm telling you. Woo! I understand what they when people say, I'm preaching myself happy. I am preaching myself happy. Look at verse 13, Ephesians chapter, I was in chapter 1. Yeah, but let's look at verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 2. But now, in Christ Jesus, that's important. What does it mean to be in Christ? It means to accept him as Lord. But you know what? After you accept him, he's going to bring about a change. And that change is going to cause you to do different things, say different things, live in a different way. All right? People who've accepted Christ and never changed, you better go back. If a change hasn't occurred, then you're not really serious about what you believe. Because when you believe in Christ, change happens. I'm telling you. You can't help but change when Christ comes into your life. And so he says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes far off, you're made near by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who has made both one He's broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Go with me to Romans chapter 5. All right? This explains it a little bit further. So what did God do? He took our old nature, and he took his nature, and he did away with the old, and he brought it into one new creation. You're a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Is new different than old? I never understood the term new antiques. Not quite. I don't quite have the understanding of that yet. But maybe the Lord will show me. But so what he did, our old nature was separated from God. Our old nature was in darkness. Our old nature was selfish. Our old nature was all these kinds of things. So Jesus came in likeness of our old nature. He was in disguise. He just put on flesh. He put on so that he could operate in this earth realm. And on the cross, he took all that old stuff and he made one new man. Here I am. I'm a new man. Oh, didn't you used to do that? No. That guy's dead. I'm new. I'm alive. You know, weren't you that tax cheat? They could say of Zacchaeus, didn't you cheat me on my taxes? No. That man's dead. I'm a new person. And through the cross, he takes light, he takes love, he takes faith, and he brings it into the new man, and he makes an entirely new creature. Therefore, this new creature now, you have peace with God. You have agreement with God. You're no longer separated from God, but now you can come near to God. You know, one of the greatest examples of peace is when a little child, maybe they hurt themselves and they come crying to mama. And mama picks up the little child, holds her child in her arms, puts the child on her chest, maybe stroking the child's hair, and all of a sudden the tears stop, and there's a peace, there's a calmness that comes over that child. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, that child is sleeping because he's in the secure arms of his mother. And that's what God does to us. He picks us up. He sits like a mother hen, covers her chicks. He covers us. He hides us under his shadow, in his wings. He picks us up. And all the bruises, all the hurts, all the harm that's been done to us, as he's patting us on the back, they disappear. And we find peace in him where we can truly rest. And all the cares of what has happened disappear. That's peace. That's peace. That's the kind of peace that God gives us. It's available to everyone. All right? Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice that peace with God does not come any other way. Peace with God only comes through Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope. See, notice there again, you have peace with God and there's rejoicing right there with it. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. How can you glory in tribulations? You can, because the peace of God comes in and it keeps your heart and your mind in Christ, so that the trouble that you're experiencing can't compare to his peace. So his peace then will override the harmfulness of the trouble. And then you can go through the trouble and you come out on the other side in victory. That is the design of peace. All right? Does everybody see that? So you can glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation works patience. You know, sometimes tribulation just needs, you don't have to pray for patience. You'll have opportunities to exercise it in life. So, you know, people who pray for patience, you don't have to pray for it. It'll come up. Well, maybe if you pray for it, it'll come up quicker. I don't know. And patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Okay? So, let me say some things about peace. Christ, Jesus, he brings you the favor of God's peace. God's peace can come on you. And things can be happening here. Things, 10,000 at your side, 1,000 here, 10,000 at your right hand. But what does Psalm 91 say? It'll not come near you. That's peace, protecting you. It gives you the favor, all right? Christ preserves you in peace, and he enables you to possess it. How many truly are possessing the peace that comes from God? Remember, if you're possessing the peace, you have the ability to speak to storms. Things are crazy. What's happening? Speak to the craziness. All you got to say is, peace, be still. Christ purchased God's peace for us. Where did he purchase it? At the cross, when he shed his blood. He purchased it. Peace comes as a result of communion with Christ. What's communion? Fellowship. Hey, when you're hanging out with the Prince of Peace, hey, he brings peace to every meal. He brings peace to everything that he does. Peace is the antidote to anxiety. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes understanding, shall keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Peace comes to the heart that Christ dwells in and rules. Colossians 3:15 says, let peace rule in your hearts. You've got to let peace. You know, sometimes peace is like an umpire. When you're faced with a decision, it'll call safe or out. You'll have peace. Go with the peace. Seek peace and pursue it. Peace keeps us from sinning and sinking under trouble. Jonah sank, right? But peace brought him out. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, but what did he do? He slept. How could he do that? Because peace was there. Peace shut the mouths of lions. Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they were thrown into the fiery furnace. What happened? They didn't even smell like smoke. They were dancing in the fire. Come on now. Woo! I got peace. I could dance before the Lord and not be embarrassed or ashamed. Peace keeps us calm without decomposing passion. Jesus was the Prince of Peace, but he never lost his passion. People wanted to kill him. What would he do? In peace, he would just simply walk away. People are like, where'd he go? They tried to kill him several times before he laid down his life. How did he do that? Peace. But peace never decreased his passion. See, peace will enhance your passion. What that means is when God calls you to something and the going gets rough, your peace will link up with your passion and you'll say, I can do it. I can make it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to accomplish it. I'm going to go. I'm going to finish it. And by the way, whoo, look at what the Lord has done. So it will never, peace doesn't decompose your passion. It enhances passion. And then finally, peace gives you an inward satisfaction of rest and hope in the Lord. Isn't it awesome how God has made available to us His peace? Amen. And for anybody that would like to, we want to just pray the priestly blessing over you in Numbers chapter 6. It says this, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, that's favor, and be gracious unto you, and the Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. So if you're here today and you want to experience the peace of God, it is yours to experience. And we just want to bless you with peace. For all who want it, just come on up right now in the name of Jesus, and we're going to bless. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, as you come up today, I want you to see yourself with the peace of God. Hallelujah. Say this. Say, the peace of God,
the peace of God
is mine.
Is mine.
I have access to it. It's a gift of Christ. And I receive it right now. I will no longer be troubled, be fearful, be anxious about anything because I have peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're just going to anoint you and say, in the name of Jesus, we're going to release peace, and you just take that peace, all right? Okay, hallelujah. If there's some music that you can play, thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, Father, just let peace be upon her. Cause your face to shine upon her right now and give her peace. Peace like a river. Ooh, peace like a river, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Oh, Father, give her peace right now. In Jesus' name, Father, we release that peace that passes understanding.